This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Welcome to the radio ministry of the Christian Crusaders. The Reverend Dr. Homer Larson will be conducting our service today. Information on how to order tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon will be given at the end of the program. We are happy you chose to worship with us today and invite you to join us every Sunday on this station.
What shall I do with Jesus? This question has been asked by many scholars, world leaders, and people like you and me for 2,000 years. Once we have learned about him, it is a question that demands an answer. We're going to talk about it in the sermon today. We open our service in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us all pray. Lord Jesus, we have come through the Christmas season. We have heard the message again and again that you are the God incarnate who has come to be the Savior of the world. And so you confront us, and the question is, what are we going to do with Jesus? Help us, O God, today, as we hear that word, and grant that the power of your Holy Spirit may lead us to say with the Magi of old, we have come to worship him and give him thanks for all that he has done. Hear our prayer that we ask in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. Friends in Christ, what shall I do with Jesus? This is a question that has been asked by world leaders, scholars, billionaires, and the poor, and it is asked by ordinary people like you and me. If we have any knowledge of the life of Jesus, I believe that it is a question that cannot be ignored, for we will answer it one way or another. It was a question that Herod had to face, and one that he had to answer, and he answered it in a terrible way. Herod was the king of Israel. He was very, very upset when he had learned from the Magi that this child who was born in Bethlehem would eventually become the king of the Jews. It was a real threat to the old man, and a threat often set Herod off in the wrong direction. The theologian William Barclay has given us some interesting information on King Herod, known as Herod the Great. He himself was half Jew, and he was well received by the Roman government. They trusted him because he was able to keep peace and order in Palestine. He was a great builder, and it was during his reign that the temple was built in Jerusalem. He also could be a very generous man. In times of difficulty, he remitted the tax to make things easier for the people. And in the famine of 25 BC, it is stated that he actually melted down his own gold plate to buy corn for the starving people. But Herod had one terrible flaw in his character. He was almost insanely suspicious. He had always been suspicious, and the older he became, the more suspicious he was. For example, he murdered his wife, and he murdered her mother, and he even murdered his three sons. Augustus, who then was the Roman emperor, has said, "It would be safer to be Herod's pig than to be his son." Now this man was very, very suspicious of Jesus. The Magi had heard that he was going to be the king of the Jews, and what would that do for his kingdom and those who were to follow in his line? So the question, what shall I do with Jesus? He answered the question finally by issuing an order that all the boys in Bethlehem and its vicinity who were 2 years old or younger were to be killed. In other words, Herod's answer to the question, what shall I do with Jesus, was simply this: get rid of him. Now that's a very common answer, and we're going to talk about it in depth in just a minute. Others have followed in the steps of Herod. If you go back through the history books, the Neros, they killed the Christians. Jesus was gone, of course, but they had to get rid of those who were followers of Jesus because they were telling that he had been the Son of God, he was the Son of God, and had come into the world to forgive people and to restore them into fellowship with God. In recent years, we've had people like Stalin and Hitler, probably two of the best known in our day. They were those who said, we have to get rid of this Christian influence. It will not be a bedfellow with Nazism or communism or some of the other isms. And we see the leaders in China in the times past, if not today, and the leaders in some countries in Africa, they have ordered the same terrible punishment that Christians were to be killed that Herod ordered. And so all of us who have had the opportunity to learn about Jesus have got to ask that question, what shall I do with him? Maybe you learned it in your home. Maybe you learned about him in Sunday school. Maybe it was in the confirmation classes that he was depicted to you as the Son of God and the Savior of the world. Maybe it was in a stirring worship service that the Holy Spirit spoke to you. The question stands, what shall I do with Jesus? In answering this question, we must consider the claims of who Jesus is, because it is not simply shrugging your shoulders and say, oh, I believe in him, I guess, that as if he's just another historical figure. You have to really consider that if you are a follower of Jesus, these are some of the truths that you do accept. That Jesus is the Son of God. That he is a God incarnate. That Jesus is God himself. The Bible tells us, and this must be the confession of a Christian, that Jesus has come into this world to be the Savior of all of those who would receive him. And then another thing, that he is the world's only Savior, that he died on the cross and paid the price for the sins of the world, that he was raised on the third day, the 40 days after that he ascended into heaven, with a commission for us to go into all of the world and tell the story of Jesus Christ, because one day he would be coming back for his church. He taught them that those who trusted in him as Savior and Lord belonged to that church. And that church was made up of people from all around the nations, all around the world, and they were his own, those who trusted him. He also said that when we had him in our hearts, it would show in our lives. In other words, when he was asked, what is the greatest of the commandments? It was he who said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. It said to us that if we carried hatred in our hearts, animosity to other people, if we were a follower of his, we had to get rid of that kind of a spirit. These are the things that we are faced with. We are faced with a passage like St. Paul says to the Corinthian church in the 5th chapter of his second letter, verse 17. Remember this, that if anyone is in Christ Jesus, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. The new has come. What is there in our life that could be categorized as the old? And that is to pass away. The new is to come. It is a new, vibrant message, a new kind of a life that we will live as a changed people in the kingdom of God. Well, what are we going to do with this question? And that's ours today. What shall I do with Jesus? And as I mentioned before, if you have known anything about him, then you have to have an answer for that. And you do have an answer for it. When we stop and think of people like Adolf Hitler and Joe Stalin, we say, oh, those wicked men. They answered, get rid of him. But you know, people are those who have the same viewpoint. They say it in just a little nicer way. They will say his influence is dangerous. It can permeate the human mind and can take a good mind that's clear thinking and move it to one that relies on matters of faith. That person is saying, we've got to get rid of Jesus. And nations have said that again and again. And empires have said it. And those who have said it consistently have fallen. What shall I do with Jesus? Get rid of him. A second answer is, ignore him. Jesus is a threat. And if you let him get too much of your life, you're going to be a different person. Not only said Jesus not only said that he could change lives, he did change them. And you look around about you today in this world, and you think of those people who are his committed followers, and then you remember what once they were. What a difference. This is what the Lord Jesus Christ can do. Take a look at the Apostle Paul, a man who hated the church, wanted to destroy the Christians. But when Jesus Christ got inside of him, and he had to be faced with a question, what shall I do with Jesus? There was only one thing that he could do, and that was to receive him. But prior to that, he wanted to get rid of him. At least he wanted to ignore him. But millions of people who have been in the presence of his word and the Holy Spirit has spoken have had their lives changed because of Jesus. Now, another might say, well, I don't deny that Jesus was a great religious leader and that he made a great contribution to Western civilization and its thought, but he has very little relevance in my life. So I might as well say, well, I have pretty much gotten rid of him. Take a look at where that person comes from. And the woods are full of them if you want to look around. He was a person who probably was born and brought up in a great Christian home. father and mother who were dedicated to the Lord, trying to raise their children in that truth. And then this person, be he man or woman, got older, and they left the family and the flock. They decided that they had had enough of this Christianity, and so they were going to get rid of it. And they didn't go to church anymore. They became rather successful in whatever they were doing. They found that they had a security and a savior outside of Jesus Christ, known better as the financial or the social or whatever it might be. And so life began for them. Now it was time for them to get married. They had no consideration regarding the spouse's faith or his or her relationship with the Lord. What they were concerned about was the physical attraction, the personality, the social connections. Was she or he aggressive? These were the important things. And you brought the person home and your dear old father and mother said, because they were committed, does she belong to a church? That was about as innocent as they could make it. And you flipped her around and said, no, they don't have any relationship with any church. Their home is unchurched. And then they probably said, well, don't you think you should give this some consideration? And maybe the young lady who is your daughter, the man who is your son, would say, well, we'll take care of that in time. And so they're married. Oh, yeah, they wanted to come back to the church to get married. No question about that. And so when the pastor was asked by the God-fearing old father, will you marry my son or my daughter? What else could he say? He could have said, I don't like to perform a marriage like that to unbelievers, but I certainly could not turn you down. And so they presented themselves in front of the altar and the pastor, and it was as if it were a grand and glorious affair. But never once was a word of God opened. Never once was there prayer. The husband and wife have never prayed with one another. The children came along. They never were sent to Sunday school. They got no Christian instruction anywhere. Their friends would invite them once in a while to come to something in their church, but well, they could come if they wanted to, but don't get too carried away with it. Now, what's that man saying, or what is that woman saying? That woman is saying, we ignore Jesus. We're not going to condemn him, and there are those who want to live according to his will. That's up to them. But for us, there are other things that are more important. And while they may not announce them this way, this is what it is, money, prestige, but they threw the family away, spiritually speaking. That's the second way. A little bit different in getting rid of him completely, you say, but denying him is often getting rid of him. But those two people, or that one person, who was raised in a Christian home and had been confronted with Jesus, had to face that question. What am I going to do with him? And his answer was, ignore him. But there's a third answer. And that answer is to worship him. For when the Magi had learned that Jesus was the Son of God, when they had learned that he was going to be the King of the Jews, they knelt down before him. And they made their confession. They brought him gifts. But Jesus, as a babe, could grow up and bring them and anybody else in this world the greatest of gifts, the forgiveness of sins, the promise of the abundant life, the assurance of life after death. There are many important questions, friend, and I do not want to minimize any of them. There are many important health questions, and we want to have an answer. these dementias that are so prevalent in our day as we live on and on? Is there not some way, somehow, that we can learn how to take care of these people whom we love so much, and in some cases, do not even know us any longer? It's a sad state of affair, and it's a question that all of us together need to be united in to help this world learn the answers to this medical problem and others. There are the political problems, and we in Iowa have heard now for many, many a week about all that these various candidates will do for us. And who am I to challenge them? It's a question that we've got to answer. Who are we going to vote for in the caucus if we go to the caucus? And who is the nation going to vote for? Who can lead us best? And that is a question that you have to decide for yourself. But all of these questions are not as important as this one. What shall I do with Jesus? We, like the Magi of old, need to bow before his manger, before his cross, before the empty tomb, and let him give us the gift of gifts, the forgiveness of our sins, grace, and the assurance of salvation. Because if we will let him into our lives, he will turn us around and he will affect our lives in such a way as we will find the answer to most of the other questions. What will you do with Jesus? Yeah, Herod was an old nut, we have to say. That's right. But those who want to get rid of him, those who want to ignore him, isn't that what Herod was doing? Turn to the Christ and let him minister to you. Amen. Pray with me. Lord Jesus, as we study your word, we see some of these people who are vicious, whose hearts are turned from you, and who would have done everything within their power to destroy what Christ had come to do. But Lord, we realize that that type of a personality has lived in every generation. And there are those today who, in their subtle way, we got to ignore him. We've got to get rid of him. Oh God, we pray that your Holy Spirit will work through that word being proclaimed by the church, that they may turn to Christ and serve him. That's what we pray for our country, that we will be willing as a nation, one by one, to be confronted with that question and to answer it. What will I do with Jesus? And then grant, O God, that we will have the wisdom to know that he alone is the answer for our lives and for the lives of the millions of people who live in the nations of the world. Be with those who are sick. We pray for those who die and for their loved ones who stand by their bedside. Give them that peace which passes all understanding. Come, Lord Jesus, and live in that heart and cause us to kneel often in worship and praise to you. For it is in your holy name we ask it. Amen.
You have been worshiping with the radio and internet ministry of the Christian Crusaders. We praise God for his provision and pray you have been spiritually nourished by the message today. Christian Crusaders publishes a quarterly newsletter called The Crusader. This publication contains a special article written by Pastor Larson and our executive director, as well as other interesting information concerning this ministry. If you would like to receive this mailing, please call our office at 1-888-MY-FAITH. That's 1-888-693-2484. You may also write us at Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our website address is christiancrusaders.org. That's Christian Crusaders, all one word, .org. Cassette tapes, CDs, and printed copies of today's sermon are available free of charge. However, a gift to help cover production and mailing costs is appreciated. Address your request to Christian Crusaders, P.O. Box 522, Cedar Falls, Iowa, 50613. Our toll-free telephone number again is 1-888-693-2484. In the Cedar Falls, Waterloo, Iowa area, dial 277-0924. Conducting our service today was the Reverend Dr. Homer Larson, radio pastor of Christian Crusaders, now in its 72nd year of regular Sunday worship broadcasting.